true.
So me calgary just as fire.
And the stories are all true. Welcome to the Summit County Justice Files, your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we are here to inform, educate, and engage with our community.
Now, before we get started, Tom, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
And we thank you for tuning in to the Summit County Justice Files podcast. Just remember, crime may not pay, but it makes for some interesting stories. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity and the lessons learned and more than just a few moments of law enforcement levity. Because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone.
It is serious
business. Unless it's crime of bad jokes, and once in a while you'll hear those here on the podcast. Let's get into it.
Sometimes it might be you and me telling them.
Exactly. Yes. Painful bad jokes.
Oh, God.
All right, let's start out with patrol reporting a bomb threat at St. Anthony Hospital in Lakewood.
Oh.
Or Frisco.
Yeah, this is Frisco.
This is was a typo. Okay.
Yeah,
so
typo.
Frisco, St. Anthony Hospital. Somebody called in and threatened to blow up the hospital?
Yeah. What happened was this is a person that had called 911 and said that there was a bomb at our hospital here in Frisco, St. Anthony's in Frisco. And she wouldn't disclose who they were, wouldn't disclose where they're calling from. The only thing the person would disclose is that they were a former patient and a mental health patient, and they didn't like the way they were treated. And because they didn't like the way they were treated, they were calling in a bomb threat now. So as you can imagine, this starts a response from all law enforcement agencies in the county. I mean, it's a small hospital, but it's a community hospital. Mm-hmm. We know everybody. We interact with hospital staff all the time. Obviously, all threats are real. And in today's environment, especially with everything you see in the headlines, this was a big deal for us, you know, at a real hospital. Wasn't saying I left a backpack by a park bench. This was, I'm going to blow up the hospital. What made this more complicated as we went into it was, usually we have the ability to track where calls are coming from. We can get in the big system and see where your phone is pinging and where you are. This person was calling from an internet-based VoIP, voice over internet protocol. It's called VoIP. You hear it.
Yep.
Call. So it was we were unable to trace to a location because it comes back to an IP address that bounces all over the place. So I mean, this involved our federal partners. This involved state. This involved so many resources. We were eventually able, at least over the night, I mean, this went on all night, we were able eventually to determine that she was calling from out of state. We obviously got our co-responder, our crisis response, SMART team involved. They were able to talk to her and de-escalate her and get to a point where she was saying that she was just really upset that she doesn't have a bomb, there is no bomb, she's out of state. She didn't really mean the threat. She didn't like the way she was treated. But there was not only our response, but the hospital itself also had an incident management response. So we were working with all the leadership of the hospital throughout the night. And this literally dragged on through the night, the next morning, into the next day. So it was a good over, 12-hour incident that unfolded. But at the end of the day, we're still looking for this person. We kind of sort of know where they are. But these things get complicated. I mean, these are in today's world with technology where you get something like this where, it's just like these fraud schemes that we talk about, you and I, all the time. When they bounce on servers all over the place, it's really hard to pinpoint somebody.
It used to be so easy just to hit *69. Remember that? And you could find out the last number called.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
But that's...
And we thought then that was like,
right.
Wow.
Oh, that's technology.
Or *67 would block your
right?
number.
Yeah. I think that still works.
Oh, well then.
Yeah.
Oh.
I haven't tried *69 lately.
Now people just get on, you know, encrypted apps and it blocked their number.
That's incredible that she had the wherewithal to go into that, to disguise where she's calling from, to go through this whole process.
And we don't know. I mean, eventually we'll find her, especially with our federal partners. Well, hopefully, I shouldn't say eventually we will, because we may not, because of the way these things bounce around servers. But if we find her and we locate her, I mean, it will be interesting to find out. Did it just happen that she happened to be on a voice over internet protocol on a computer, or was it intended? Did she intend to conceal who she was? But she never gave up her name or anything like that.
Wow.
A lot of resources.
Yeah.
A lot of resources we don't have, because there's regular police business going on while that's happening.
Well, let's hope that she can get tracked down and get the mental health care that she definitely needs.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Well, there's been some scams and frauds, and one of these frauds is a person reporting a message from Facebook from an unknown user. And just getting any message from an unknown user on any platform, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's an unknown user. Kind of take it for that, worth.
You know, you got one, yesterday, the day before.
Yesterday.
It was yesterday that you had sent me.
Yeah.
And it was one over a text message.
Uh-huh.
And as you saw, they're getting more and more sophisticated. But what was interesting about the one you got, literally when you sent it to me, it all of a sudden like went like wildfire across the county. I mean, so to the point where we ended up putting out a social media post telling people, if you're getting this text message, it's fake.
A lot of people got that one.
I mean, like, I'm like, oh, look what Tom got. And then immediately.
Everybody else got.
Everyone. I mean, it must have. We talk about these bots sending these out, computers.
Right. Yeah.
It literally must have just targeted like Summit County.
So basically the gist of that scam was that the Department of Motor Vehicles was going to suspend your license.
The Colorado Department of Motor Vehicles.
Colorado, yeah. And if you don't pay now, you won't be able to drive anymore. And it had scam written all over it, but by the same token, they were using official statutes.
They sure were. Yeah.
Is that like a real statute? Did you look that up?
Yeah,
what they were
some
using?
Of them were.
Okay.
I mean, you know, there was some stuff in there that didn't make sense, but to the, you know, to the average person reading something like that, you could see, I mean, your message was pretty, it could make you go, oh my God, I should click on this link.
Right.
Maybe I don't remember.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, that's the point to it, is that they get people that, there's the people that suffer from the, I can't help it, I have to click on this link. I have to know. And then there's the people that go, you know, gosh, did I forget to pay my stuff?
Right.
Maybe I did. And they click on the link, and they just need you to click on the link, and you're done. You're toast.
It's a phishing scam that you don't want to get involved with. Well, so, let's talk about this Facebook
one. This one was over Facebook, who claimed that he had been hacked and provided a phone number to call for assistance. And so this guy got a Facebook post, so of course thought it was real, and called the number. And then once he called the number, they started the, you know, we have explicit photos of you from your Facebook and blah, 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 and try to convince him that that's when the fraud tried to occur. This guy was smart enough to report it and not give up any money. This time, because these things happen all the time too, but I haven't seen a one through Facebook in quite a while.
And if you do get inclined to call a phone number, hit *67 and block your number before you call. And if your call doesn't go through, you know that, okay, it's a scam, ignore the whole thing.
You know, I'm not a social media user, but I do know that like Facebook, you can't call them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No.
So if you get a phone number to call Facebook, you should go, wait a minute. There is no phone.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to Google Facebook? You know, customer service, there's no phone number.
No, you can't get a hold of anybody.
They don't want you to get a hold of
them. Just a bunch of robots operating it, including Zuckerberg. He's a robot. You know that. I mean, good Lord, nobody looks like that in real life.
Real or robot.
Man. So beware of the frauds, the scams. They're everywhere. On every platform, you get a text. It's on social media. Just a word of advice. Beware. A condo owner in Keystone reporting a trespasser. Rents out his unit, reported several suspicious entries into the unit over the last several weeks. What happened?
Yeah, so this is interesting. Do you remember last week, the week before, we were talking about the diamond ring that went missing that got found in the vacuum?
Yeah,
so right. This is that unit.
Oh, really?
Yes.
The same unit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It gets better. I mean, this guy should sell this unit. It's probably possessed.
It seems so.
But it turns out that the owner of this unit started getting, you know, I guess he has on his app, he can monitor all the times that the electric lock is bypassed on his condo unit.
Sure.
Sort of just like surveillance cameras. Yeah. But this is saying, hey, at this date and time, you know, Tom Fricky entered the unit. So he got a whole bunch of these for days in a row. And usually, you know, I don't know why it takes people days to report things, but you would think, like, if you got one and you know no one's running it, you'd immediately call the police and say, hey, can you go by my place? I haven't rented it, and it shows that someone breached the door. But no, this was, I think, a week went by, multiple accesses. As it turns out, I almost can't even say it with a straight face. As it turns out, so the ring incident we talked about last week, whatever it was on the podcast. We talked about there was an incident there in a unit where someone had left and they said, I left my my diamond ring worth $45,000 in the unit.
Right.
And they went back several times, couldn't find it. They finally got a hold of the cleaner. Deputies and the person that lost the ring met the house cleaners at the unit. They looked around. The house cleaner said, I didn't do it. And the deputy thought, well, have we checked the vacuum bag? And they cut the vacuum bag open, and there was the ring. Who would have known?
And that was a happy ending.
So we thought.
But wait, there's more.
So it turns out that the couple that lost the ring that were renting there, when the house cleaner one of those times went back in to look for the diamond ring, they watched her punch in her code. And so they, once they found the ring and that was all over, they decided they liked being in Summit County so much during Mayuary that they were going to come back and just party in this unit until they got thrown out. So now it makes me think, was the ring real?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Or was it the whole thing a setup?
Yeah, exactly.
Because why would they need to break into an apartment and trespass in there and trash this place if they really lost a $45,000 ring?
There's something a little fishy
right?
with
this. So now I want to see the ring.
Yeah.
With the little magnifying glass.
Exactly.
Right? It makes no sense. So we tracked down these people. You know, the housekeeper was, you know, obviously one more time going, I didn't do it, right?
Yeah.
First it's the ring, and now the owner of the unit's going, are you letting people in? Because it's showing that you entered my place,
yeah,
you know, twice, three times a day for a week.
Oh, man.
And so it turned out that this is who was doing it, these folks. And we tracked them down and arrested them and took them to jail. But I question the ring now.
You know where I mean? Is the ring now? Where? That's the big question. Where is the ring?
And where else have they done this?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, nowhere that we're aware of, the sheriff's office. I mean, they could have done it in one of the towns. They could have done it in a surrounding county. But I really wonder if this just wasn't a scam to get in the unit.
So is the investigation continuing?
Well, we've hired a gemologist.
Okay. No. Tom Shane from the Shane Company?
Oh, the Shane Company. Yeah. They love law enforcement. They said they'd come help.
Good.
But I thought that's just a funny, you know, piggyback to a story we already talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Amazing. Maybe when they got out of jail, if they do it again, it'd be shame on us.
So how long are they going to be in jail for?
You know, I
mean, they got free accommodation, well, sort of free accommodations, the Iron Bar Hotel.
Well, you know, I guess if you look at it this way, three hots and a cot.
Sure.
Right? It's free stay, and they don't have to break in anywhere. If anything, they'd have to break out.
Yeah.
But I wonder, God, now you just made me think if we should go down to the jail and check their property and see if there's a ring that's booked.
Right.
And then we can look at it.
Find out who the rightful owner actually is.
There's no way it's real. There's no way.
It can't be.
There's no way.
Yeah.
It's got to be part of the scam.
It's, man. Ongoing, we will follow that here on the Summit County Justice Files.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93, talking with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And every week we get to visit on the radio on Crystal 93 at 93.9 in Summit County and 93.1 in the Vail Valley. Thursday morning, 7:45, you can hear a couple of minutes of conversation with us, but here on the podcast, we get to talk a little bit more about things, including about a traffic stop. A deputy initiated a traffic stop with a vehicle on Highway 9 due to a cover over its license plate. That made it difficult to read.
Yeah, so this is one of those file that's under, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so the story with this guy is that eventually, through the traffic stop, the investigation, back license plate was covered, which is automatically suspicious. Like, you're going to draw attention from law enforcement.
Right.
Which it did. Nowadays, law enforcement carry around in their cars these little mini portable fingerprint readers.
Oh.
So we can stick your finger, Tom, in the fingerprint reader.
Yeah.
Like, you tell me, hey, I'm Tom Fricke, and I go, you don't look like, I know Tom, you don't look like Tom. And I stick your fingerprint in the fingerprint reader, it'll tell me who you really are. It turns
out, if your prints are on file.
Well, if you're covering your license plate, your prints are probably on file.
Okay.
So it turned out, A, this guy didn't give us his real name and had a fake ID. B, he had two warrants out for DUIs and failure to appear.
Whoopsie.
Yeah, whoops. And he had some other warrants, and he had dope in his pocket. And obviously, he was driving under the influence of narcotics and had a narcotic. And I'm thinking to myself, so if you don't want to get stopped by the police, you probably shouldn't cover your license plate.
Yeah.
Because that's going to... Yeah, you didn't learn anything probably the first time you went to jail about how do you avoid detection by police.
Or just cover up the license plate.
Just cover up the license plate.
They'll never be able to read it.
It'll be like you're invisible.
Yeah.
So there's the lesson there is, like, you know, we don't catch the smart ones. I mean, covers his license plate, lies about his name, and then we go, stick your finger in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what about the license plates that are covered that have like an opaque cover that apparently
you can't do anything that makes it unreadable. You can't even like have snow covering your license plate.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I hear that's the best way to beat the the speed cameras for the front license plate readers, that you put a little opaque shield over the front and they can't read it.
No, these surveillance cameras that we have in law enforcement in towns across the country have, they can read through those things. These things that people think, oh, this is how you avoid law enforcement.
No.
You don't even avoid law enforcement by covering the license plate because we'll pull you over.
You'll attract law enforcement. Just try to blend in, people.
Oh, yeah. People think like, you know, the HOV lanes, the toll lanes.
Yeah.
Like if you just cover, you kind of make your plate fuzzy.
Uh-huh.
They won't get you. They get you every time.
Or if I put a mannequin in the passenger seat so I can drive in the HOV lane.
Yes.
That doesn't work either.
No. No. I mean, Not even a Barbie doll in a car seat.
Doesn't work.
No.
No, not at all. Follow the rules, people.
Just follow the rules. Yeah. Come on.
Speaking of rules, we've got some rules on the Dillon Reservoir, a very popular recreation place in the summertime. It is a beautiful lake reservoir here in Summit County, and a lot of people get attracted to the water for stand-up paddleboarding, for sailing, for fishing, for boating. But one thing that you can't not do in the reservoir is go swimming. You can wade up to what, your waist, I believe.
Oh, yeah, I mean, but if you're doing that, you're
swimming.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're dipping your toes in, that's one thing, but
right.
By the time you're wading, you're swimming.
It's a different thing.
Come on.
So now what at what point does the sheriff's department get involved when somebody is swimming in Lake Dillon?
So what's interesting is, you know, as you know, we have a big program in the summer on the lake. You know, during the winter, as we were talking on the podcast, we were waiting for the lake to melt.
Yeah.
And then we had a dead body that washed in with the ice. But now it's melted. Our program really starts around Memorial Day weekend and goes into October. But Labor Day weekend is usually the end of the summer crowds. But our boat rangers, the Sheriff's Office boat rangers, stay incredibly busy on our lake. And the biggest violations are swimming and no personal flotation device, PFD. Even though we have big, you know, floaties all over the lake saying, wear your PFD. So, you know, they try to educate the first time, as long as it's not really egregious. These young girls were floating near the Frisco Marina, and they were swimming and sunbathing on a dock, and our deputies just warned them that, A, you can't swim in the water, and you might want to be careful on that dock with all that bird poop, because it can be really bad if you have an open cut on your feet and you get this nasty stuff and all the other stuff that grows on these wood docks in your feet. So, but, you know, it just serves – we get so many things that happen on this lake besides dead bodies washing up.
Right.
But, you know, one of the other stories we're going to talk about is you know, when these storms roll in. You know, these storms roll in through the 10-mile canyon. They roll in from the west. And you've reported on them on the radio before.
Oh, yeah.
Where these microbursts come in. And before you know it, every boat, every paddleboard, every canoe on the lake is overturned and there's people in the water. That we had an incident here this last weekend where this happened. And we had many, many people in the water. And in this particular incident, one of the boats, you know, the marinas will sometimes send boats out to rescue. Boats that haven't overturned will help rescue. Because literally, we've had 30, 40 people in the water with a dozen boats overturned.
Wow.
In seconds.
Yeah.
And this is kind of what happened here this past weekend. And one of the boats that were rescuing people that were in the water, the engine caught fire. Now we had a boat fire.
Jeez.
So we talk about, in our world, it's an incident within an incident, right? Now we've got a serious fire going on. People in the water, cold water. We don't want people suffering from hypothermia or drowning, even though they have PFDs. And, of course, not everyone's wearing a PFD. Uh-huh. So you're trying to go after those first. So this happens all summer long, usually during the monsoon. But the thing about our lake, as you know, is that you can literally be out there, blue sky, sunny, beautiful day, birds flying, fish jumping, and you turn your back, and before you know it, you're in 10-foot seas, and the storm's rolling through.
The thing of it is, with Dillon Reservoir, the storms can come in, obviously, from the west, but they come in from every direction at any time of the year. I mean, we'll come in, the storm's coming from the east. It's backing up against the lake, and it's just kind of weird how the storms come in from every direction, and the sailboat people, the sailors say if you can sail Lake Dillon, you can sail anywhere in the world because it's one of the most dangerous and unpredictable lakes and bodies of water to sail on in the whole world.
Isn't that crazy?
That's wild.
And we have those professional regattas up here, those races that challenge people, and people come up here because of what you just said,
right?
Because it challenges them, and they can race in no other environment like ours. But, you know, what makes it so dangerous is people, as you know, will paddleboard or kayak in this stuff, and they will literally get blown across the lake.
Yeah.
If they remain on their board or their kayak, they can get blown across the lake, and they can also get marooned on these islands. So many times after these storms, we will find paddleboards and boats with no people, and we have to start looking around the islands and scooping up people off the islands that have washed up onto the islands. So, I mean, it's quite the endeavor when these things happen, and it's an all hands on deck.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize how cold the water is on Lake Dillon year round.
I
mean, it may be summer in August and hot and maybe 80 degrees, but in the water, it doesn't warm up.
Yeah.
I mean, you get that thermal layer on top, and you put your hand in there. It's, that feels fine.
Yes.
You know, take a dip, and then as soon as you get in, it's like very cold. It's 50 degrees, 52 degrees maybe. It's
Like I said, it's that first 6 to 12 inches where you think, oh, the water's fine. I'm going to jump in.
Yeah.
Without a PFD.
Don't do that.
After I've had a few drinks.
Not a good idea.
God. No.
Be aware, Lake Dillon is going to be attracting a lot of people all through the summer, and we want people to stay safe on Lake Dillon.
Yeah.
Wear your PFD. please.
Yeah.
Let's stay safe out there in the water.
Yeah, like the summer concerts at the amphitheater where boats come in from the back and sit on their boats and party at the back of the amphitheater.
Well, and some people think that, oh, I'm just going to use my SUP, stand-up paddleboard, and go over there and hang out on my SUP and watch the concert. But it gets dark during the concerts, and navigating on the lake in the dark is not so easy.
With no lights.
Yeah.
When there are boats that are that don't see you.
Yep. That's one thing. You need running lights if you're going to be operating on the lake after dusk. Running lights are required. Port, starboard, and your stern lights, you got to have them on. Make sure that you're visible so people can see you on the water. Let's have a safe summer.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Some closed cases in criminal investigations. Let's talk about this theft that had a couple of victims coming forward in reference to a suspect who committed theft. And after further investigation, apparently determined the suspect was supposed to fix their vehicles, never did, kept the money.
Yeah, so we talked about one of these cases on the podcast where this exactly happened. Someone was going around collecting money saying they could fix your car. And this is just another one of these fraud scams that happen. Unfortunately, it really in our immigrant community, they prey on them, on the immigrants preying on the immigrant community because they think they know they usually won't go to the police. But it turns out that the one we talked about that went down just like this, where guy said, hey, I can work on your car for $500. Turns out that he went up and down the neighborhood doing this and collected money from quite a few people and then absconded with the money. Thank God we were able to identify who he is. He's gone. There's a warrant out for his arrest. But he absconded with the money. And this is just another... for the immigrant community that doesn't have the computers and the phones to get the scams that way, these are people actually walking around, speaking their language, knocking on their doors, or, I come along, I see you tinkering on your car. I go, hey, Tom, I can fix that. I'm a mechanic. And you go, oh, my God, great. How much?
Do we know how much this guy got away with total?
He got away with a few thousand dollars total cash money from different people. $500 there, $200 here, $100 there. But it's really unfortunate because the chances of us catching this guy, unless he has some law enforcement interaction, are probably slim to none. But it's just another example of these scams, and unfortunately, with our immigrant community.
A burglary. Deputies responding to a trespass in Breckenridge. A suspect had entered the residence without permission.
Yeah, this is one of those, we talk about, the housing crisis here in the county. And there's, as I always describe, there's different pockets of what I call homeless. There's people that are living in the forest. There's people living in the car. There's people renting a couch. There's multiple people renting an apartment. Well, this is someone that took somebody in to help care for their father. And this person was there for a while, and then the employment situation didn't work out very well. And they showed this person out the door, and this person came back and stole some valuables out of the home. But, unfortunately, this it's a he said, she said. Yeah. The person is claiming that this property belonged to them, that they took, and it wasn't stolen, that they had established residency here in this house. And so, unfortunately, they were not able to establish enough to prove a crime had occurred, to establish probable cause. But this is just one of those, you do a good deed, no good deed goes unpunished. You take somebody in, they steal from you, and you have no proof it's yours. They have no proof that it's theirs, but you have no proof that it's not theirs. And so we just... the person gets away with it, and there's no way to prove otherwise. Unfortunate. This is super unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. MVA. We're talking sheriff lingo here.
Yeah, what
is MVA mean?
Motor vehicle accident.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm the person that tells people, don't talk in...
Don't talk in code.
Don't talk in police code. People don't know what you mean.
10-4.
Yeah, this is one back from December of last year where we responded to a motor vehicle accident And the person, the victim in the accident, you know, who was not at fault, you know, had some, was in the hospital for a while. And after, you know, the investigation, it was determined that the person that hit him was careless driving, causing injury, and was summoned. In April of this year, so a few months later, the mother of the person that was in the hospital calls our detectives and says that 5 days out of leaving the hospital, that their loved one died. And they said it was due to a heart attack, but they think it was related to the car accident. So what this triggers now is, right, we can't just say, well, we don't think so because we're not doctors. Mm. So it triggers a whole investigation on our end where we now have to investigate this death to see what the cause was. You know, we have to find the coroner's report. We have to go back to the hospital and dedicate a lot of resources to this, a tremendous amount of – this is something you would never think like law enforcement would get involved in. But when someone says it was caused by the accident, now you're talking about vehicular manslaughter. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day – lots of resources, lots of time. It was determined that this person did die of a heart attack, but had some internal issues with their heart, and the accident had nothing, no bearing on this person's death. This is, you know, similar to, you know, we often get this with people that commit suicide, where loved ones would go, there's no way Tom committed suicide. I know, you know, there's just no way. And you're like, I hate to tell you. You know, so this is one of these ones where this person just wasn't healthy, and this loved one just didn't want to believe that they died of a heart attack. They wanted to believe that there was some criminal cause to it.
So you have to get medical personnel involved.
Oh, we got, yeah, medical, coroner, yeah. Everybody involved, yeah, to come up. And unfortunately in this one, well, fortunately and unfortunately, there was no crime in this one either.
Well, that's a wrap for this week's Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
And just so we're clear, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases, and all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, my friend, stay safe, stay informed. And if you're thinking about committing a crime, well, maybe don't. It never ends well, and you might just end up in our next feature.
You can also read the Summit County Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website at summitsheriffcolorado.gov. Until next time, this is the Summit County Justice Files, where law meets laughs, and justice always has the final say. As always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Tom.